Cash in the stash, in the mask.
My connect is anonymous.
You don't want a problem with
it. That get your mama hit.
No death for the flesh wound.
This shit like it, no restroom.
No room to rest.
Cause them niggas will test you.
See where it gets you.
Baptize these rap guys, the gadflies.
Cocaine crack pies, big to get half size. When the sword hits the waist or the fool hits the face,
he gon' need a prayer, put the call in the mace.
I put it all in the coke,
put it all in the chase.
All in Wachovia,
all in the H. Nine MMs and Tech Nines, you will respect mine.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you used to. You see, we're dropping that strong-ish, more powerful and dominant. So just respect my conglomerate.
Yeah, for education, for reparations, justice for Laquan, Rise Stars, Northside, Southside, a crook mayor with an attitude named Ron. Who needs to resign now, so I'm about to drop this bomb. It don't take 400 days to see these murderous ways. That's what it takes to cover up what really happened that day. We only saw the video cause somebody took it to court. Cause somebody realized that y'all killing us for sport. So let's go back to October 2014, where Officer Van Dyke shot a young black teen. Laquan, way too young, he was only 17. He was walking away, but he caught 16. A clear cover up, where's the audio and the sound? Where's the footage from the BK that's no longer around? A month after Ferguson, the whole nation heated. If this video came out, Rhyme, you would have been defeated. So I'm saying that you're guilty of covering up a murder. You might as well have helped him out, helped him hide the burner. I know that you was lying when you said you hadn't seen it. The other day you said it was graphic, so which one is it? You's a liar, and you could quote me on this text. You seen the video, that's why the city wrote that check. You closing up the clinics, closing up the schools. Then you try to blame us when these kids acting a fool. There's 5.2 million reasons for you to hold me back. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks where the people fight back. See the crook in you, every time you speak your mind. The crook in you, look at me in my eyes line. I see the crook in you, you committed a crime. The crook in your rhyme, it's time to resign. I see the crook in you, every time you speak your mind. The crook in you, look at me in my eyes line. I see the crook in you, you committed a crime. The crook in your rhyme, this is time to resign. I'm the ump of this movement, rhyme, I'm calling out. You just mad cause your brother Ari got more clout. You worth 11 mil, he worth 34. So we know that neither y'all care about conditions of the poor. Hunger strike is almost dying, but you don't care about diet. You ain't even seem to care when the teachers went on strike. So come on, is this a man? We'll be right back.
to my heart speak.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun.
That was Jewel from her Joy, a Holiday Collection, I Have Seen. And the opening theme was the theme of this program, Earth by Michelle Indiocello from her CD Peace Beyond Passion. And you're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, joined by Paulette. Hello, Paulette.
Hello, Catherine.
So nice to have you here and to be here with you and with all of our listeners who, who are, what shall I say, getting ready for the holidays, perhaps. You never know, perhaps so.
Mm. Well, I hope it's certainly going to be a healthy and a prosperous and a peaceful 2016 for everyone listening.
Yeah, so do I, actually. Who knows? With the way the world is going, we just don't know.
Truly.
Mm-hmm. So are you preparing for the holidays? I'm not. I'm not even acknowledging that it exists. But,
well,
you know, that's just my thing. Christmas has never been my holiday. Mm. At least since, you know, the end of Santa Claus. So when Santa Claus ended for me, Christmas ended for me, to tell you the truth. So, yeah, I'm not much of a Christmas celebrator. Because for me, historically, it's always been about getting in debt, spending a lot of money, buying a lot of stuff. Stuff may or may not be... You know, it's just stuff.
Yeah, it does. It sort of has become the chief motivator for businesses to try to seduce people into spending a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, and so, you know, it's become what it's become, and the other side of the coin is the more I get to know about the manipulation of religions into social structures. It's the whole thing has really been hacked. But one of the nice things about Christmas is Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
And also the spirit of the thing. You know, it can be a very beautiful time. You know, when people come together and they... people laugh and break bread together, and you know.
Sure.
So I think a lot of people enjoy the holidays because it is a family celebration, and because it's an opportunity to get together. But Christmas just has not been my favorite holiday. I'm much more into Thanksgiving, to tell you the truth, even though that's manipulated as well. At least, you know, it's just about food. It's not about spending money on presents.
This is true.
Do I sound like a Scrooge?
No.
I do to myself.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
This past weekend, though, I'm not really a church-going person, but I did attend a service at a church in Greenwich Village called the Middle Collegiate Church. And it's really, I guess one would call it a non-denominational faith-based organization. And I went to a service last Sunday, and I know personally the pastor. Her name is Jackie Lewis, and she's led their church for a long time, she and her husband, and they do a great deal of work in terms of social justice and neighborhood interventions and a lot of very public demonstrations against injustices in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a very beautiful, I guess you call it a sermon, but it was encompassing all spiritual beliefs, including atheists. And her message was, let's get rid of the labels, because labels cause a great deal of harm to people in the world. And if we connect with each other, regardless of the labels that are put on different belief systems, and understand that we all encompass an ability to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is what would hold us together. And her message, I thought it was really, it had quite an impact on me in terms of how her expression of spirituality was so embracing and sort of universal.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, as a non-churchgoer, to be sitting there with in this really quite beautiful space on, I think it's 2nd Avenue and 7th Street or something, it was really quite lovely.
That sounds nice. Yeah. Well, see, that's more in the spirit of the day, such as it is, that it become more about coming together in a way that is meaningful to people on a spiritual level.
Yes.
And so for that reason, that sounds like it was a beautiful experience.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Cool. So we happen to be in a situation here where allegedly the phones are working. So I'll put that out there for people. If you would like to have a comment or to offer a holiday greeting to someone or to all, the phone lines are 718-780-8888. So that's cute, you know, because our address is 388 Atlantic Avenue. So our new phone number apparently has all these eights.
Mm-hmm.
And the eight is the symbol of infinity, so that's a very auspicious number.
Mm.
So it's 718-780-8888. And we invite you to call in if you want to have a say about the coming holiday and maybe your experiences and your take on it is a positive one. And there's no reason not to have a positive experience or a positive take on the holidays. All of our lives are quite different. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I do have a strong sense of resonance, I would say, with the Christ consciousness, maybe would be a good way of putting it, in terms of the energy which I see as a universal energy. And from time to time, different what would you say? I would say maybe mystics or advanced folk have tapped into that energy, including the person known as Christ, including Buddha, including Muhammad, including many, many leaders. We have a call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. Great conversation. I just want to echo similar to what you were saying. I love the spirit of Christmas and how people are a little nicer and, you know, people trying to give you gifts and all of that and that part. But the spending part sometimes gets a little bit crazy.
Yes, it can. It can.
It's a little bit out of hand.
In fact, it got to the point where my debt over the holidays was taking years to pay off. And then it would accumulate and accumulate, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
Couldn't do it anymore.
But, I mean, I love holidays, you know, some of them, and I don't agree with all of them, but like you said, the spirit is beautiful, but, you know, if some people don't have the money, I feel bad for people who sometimes, you know, they make you feel bad, society. You're not buying something, so-called, they try to.
Well, that's true, and I think that I still have some remnants of that, in that rather than really stand up to Christmas and just confront people with, I'm sorry, I don't have a gift, I usually just stay home. So it's not really a very, I don't know if it's how I would judge that, but that's just how it is for me. I don't
Right, because people don't even talk about it. It's the winter solstice.
Yeah.
You know, they're so much into the Santa Claus and the Jesus Savior thing. Sometimes I tell people, I say, well, it's the solstice also. And some people don't, you know, they don't get that part, or they're not knowledgeable about that part of the holiday also.
Well, that's true, and that's really where the holiday originates, with the solstice and the coming of light, because after the solstice, the days get longer. It's the birth of the new, looking forward to the new season. So that's really where Christmas comes from. If we were really to celebrate the birth of Yahshua, I believe it was in April or something. It wasn't really in December.
Right. Well, great, great show, Kathy, you and your guests. And I echo your sentiments of, I love the spirit, but all that other stuff, I kind of I put on the side.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate that.
Okay. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye. Hey, that number again is 718-780-8888. It might be that people do want to wish, give a holiday greeting out to their friends and family. And I would love, like you said, I think it's, my focus is really into 2016 already. And so my greeting and my wish for everyone and for the world, you're right, is that we can find more peace in the coming year. So, Paulette, are you there? Hello? Oh, no. We lost Paulette, so apparently there are some issues. We'll try this again. We got a caller, but we lost our co-host. So let me play another piece of music for you, and we'll see how this goes.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
Just one thing I need,
and I
don't care about love.
Yes. So that was Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas is You. So, Paulette, I believe we are back together.
Yes, we are.
I'm sure I did something wrong. I'm going to try to take another call. I'm actually going to take the risk. See
okay.
what happens. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tony calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. So I was listening to the conversation, and I just wanted to weigh in with belief systems are unique as the many individuals that inhabit this planet that we're on. And it's a very powerful being to believe in something. And your belief may vary from mine, and my belief may vary from the guest that you have on the air tonight. I'm sorry, I didn't catch her.
No, this is Paulette Spencer. She's actually my co-host for this
program.
Oh, okay,
Paulette. Yes. Great, great, great. So I just wanted to chime in and say that, you know, we're in the holiday season. What I really get excited about is being able to celebrate the fact that you can celebrate your belief system regardless of how unique it is from my belief system.
I like that.
So do I.
Yeah. Yeah, and that I think when you get caught up in the labels and the pigeonholing, creates an environment of conflict. And no, my belief system is superior to yours, or mine is the right path and yours is the wrong. But if we just take a moment to kind of like pause and say, well, what I believe is unique to me, but if someone else has a right, an inalienable right, to believe what works for them.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
I like that. Thank you.
Okay, enjoy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, are you still there? Paulette?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
I'll speak louder.
No, it wasn't you. It was I'm getting used to the system of having the phone again.
Oh.
So now in front of me I have one computer console that has two computers attached that are in the same console that we have to click back and forth. One gives me internet, one doesn't.
Okay.
Then besides this is another computer on which I have to record all the music, and that's even too far for me to reach. So I have two keyboards, two computer faces, consoles, and underneath there are actually three computers. Then we have the phone and the soundboard. It's just an interesting configuration. And so I'm just getting a little used to it. So because we are required to report music that we're playing during certain periods, I have to type in the music as well as find the music. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm learning to multitask, and maybe this is what it's like to be multidimensional. You have to be able to do many things at once. So it's probably good practice.
Probably.
Yeah. So I thought that was a very good point. We
sure.
do have to leave room for everyone to
sure.
to for their beliefs and practices. But one of the things that does happen for people very often is around holiday times they get more depressed. Or depressed when they wouldn't normally be, because it's a good time to reminisce about those people that we might have lost, or to have memories of happier times. So I suppose the potential is there to get to sort of just, you know, put your head under the covers and not want to be involved, because it has the potential for such a broad spectrum of feelings and responses based on our past and whatever emotions we carry from our experiences. So Christmas, for adults at any rate, I think most children who have healthy homes still enjoy holidays, be it Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is that they celebrate. So kids, for the most part, get an opportunity to really enjoy the holidays. And adults somehow sometimes get lost in memories of the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's nice. I guess that's what's nice about Christmas music. Well, from my perspective, it's usually very cheerful. And so if you don't pay too much attention to the words,
okay,
it's kind of cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I guess Christmas in a way sort of marks the beginning of another cycle, even though I guess when it comes to the universe we live in, and I don't know where we are along that cycle, but the end of the year and Christmas and all the holidays that are in its proximity, I think sort of puts people in the mindset of sort of a retrospective thoughts on what's transpired in their lives and what they've accomplished and what they've gained and what some of their losses were.
Yeah.
And so I've never, I mean, as you speak of not having given a lot of value to Christmas Day itself for its meanings, I'm finding that I'm not giving a lot of value to New Year's. because for years I thought that it's sort of this artificial counting down and then building up this anxiety over one point in time. I mean, granted, it's a question of, you know, our planet and rotation and cycles, and I get all of that. To me, it's just one point in time. And I think my sense is that it's a bit artificial.
Well, it depends on how you approach it, I suppose. I happen
Sure.
to be much more into the new year.
Oh.
I okay. like the new year. It's to me, it's like a birthday. It doesn't really have meaning, but it does, like you say, signify kind of a new beginning. And
mm-hmm.
to me, New Year's feels a lot more like a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's, you know, I'm much more into the solstices and
mm-hmm.
The seasons and the cycles of time than I am in the artifice of a religious holiday, because the time is something that has been, you know, these cycles have been occurring, and I actually do follow astrology. I'm not really into it. I don't know a lot about it, but I'm interested. And I think it makes a difference where we are in the cosmos. And I think it makes a difference, you know, if it's a full moon, like for instance, this Christmas is a full moon. And I believe it's a full moon or a new moon, one of those things. And it's a very rare occurrence, might not happen again for another 20 years. You know, so I'm much more into the astrological, the cosmic transformation and changes. And for me, like the whole seasonal approach to say celebrate the winter solstice is really more about being in harmony, understanding seasons and what is possible in a certain season. So, for instance, before daylight savings time, winter was a time of rest. You know, people, you know, you couldn't plant, you couldn't harvest, you didn't travel a whole lot. So that was a sort of going inward and about, you know, sort of internal development, internal cultivation. That's what it means to me. And as, you know, spring comes along, it comes to, okay, so it's now it's time to plant. And you could think of that in terms of the ground, or you can think in terms of your life. You know, it's an opportunity to plant new seeds in terms of what you might want to do with your life, people are becoming more aware and paying attention. So, for instance, it's easier to find a job in the spring than the winter. It's easier to move if you want to than in the winter. So I just see spring as an opportunity for planting the seeds for what is going to grow in your life. So winter, you're introspective. You think about last year, okay, this didn't work, that didn't work. Let me recalibrate my energy. Let me rest, and then let me again plant new seeds for possible growth and development. And then, you know, there's the summer when everything comes into bloom, and there are long hours, and there's the time to be playful and to frolic and just be kind of free. And then the fall comes, and it's the harvest. So you get back to work. It's when you begin to reap the rewards of all the seeds you planted, or at least those that come to harvest. Mm. And so to me, it feels more in harmony with a cycle of life that is gentler on who we are as human beings. And for me, pulling out of that seasonal approach to life has got us, in a way, trapped into this daily grind where we are called to work long hours. There's no real time to rest and reflect. And so it's like endless labor. And so there's no rhythm to it. And so, and for that reason, I just like the cycles and the seasons. To me, it feels more balanced. And so when those naturally balanced celebrations became co-opted into a religious celebration, it became something entirely different, I guess. So I like the seasonal approach to life.
I share that with you. I think it's the commercialization of the new year, of marking the new year, mm-hmm. that I tend to find a little bit artificial.
Yeah,
even though technically it's as you're saying, it was the solstice and the seasonal change and the beginning of a new cycle. I appreciate all of that. I guess I've seen one, and I don't mean to sound cynical, but I guess I've seen one too many balls drop at Times Square. And so when it's the commercialization of building up an anxiety and this sort of release, you know, when you count down the minutes or seconds.
Uh-huh.
But I guess I've grown a little bit wary of that whole festival or festivity, and I just tend to spend my New Year's nights very quietly.
Yeah, as do I. I very rarely go out on New Year's. I went to see them drop the ball on Times Square just once. Once was enough. And I'm not really comfortable in such huge crowds.
Neither am I.
And even now it's worse, because when I went, it was many years ago, and the streets were still open. So if you didn't like your situation, you could make your way to another street. You could go down a side street. But the way things are policed nowadays, everybody is penned in, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. So if there's any kind of crisis that arises, there's no escape.
Yes, and that was exactly what I was feeling the one time I went down there. And I thought that never again would I do something like that. It's just too many variables when you're penned in with a couple of hundred people in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and for the most part, people are peaceful and celebrating, but then there are a lot of people who are drinking too much. And then there's always, like you said, the potential for violence. So it's not, it's just not fun. It's just not fun. At least for me. I think people do enjoy it. But, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't remember that things were not like this always in New York City. Mm. You used to be able to attend parades and events and not be penned in like an animal. You could walk across the streets freely. You could engage freely. You could come and go freely. And things were not so overcrowded because people would leave. You know, you come, yeah, I don't like this, you can go home. Mm-hmm. But once you're penned in, you can't even leave.
Yeah.
Until they tell you it's time to leave. So, but it didn't used to be like that.
Hmm.
It started with the first Million Man March, really.
And really?
Yeah, that was the first time I had that experience, was the Million Man March. The very first Million Man March in New York City. It was, I believe, uptown. And they penned it in. It was the first time I experienced that. And the only violence was perpetrated by the police. The people were completely peaceful. And it wasn't even really the police, because at that time they were, they probably still are, different kinds of police. So, but then they had a lot of community police. They even had different uniforms. They had light blue jackets,
mm-hmm,
to signify that they were community police. And it was more like being a peace officer. And so they were there. They were mingling with the crowd. And everyone was having a great time. And apparently this permit for the march ended at a particular time. I don't remember. What is it? 5 o'clock, whatever. And what had happened is that at the moment that the march was to end, now people were penned in, riot police stormed from the back of the stage, came onto the stage, and started throwing things around and throwing chairs around and throwing things into the penned area where people were there with their children.
Wow.
And people freaked and panicked and started running and trying to escape. And then the police started hassling people for allegedly, rioting, because they were panicking.
Hmm.
So it was a really contrived situation, but that was my first experience with being penned in.
Oh, my.
And so, and even, I would say, even like parades, the West Indian Day Parade used to be open. So now if you go there, they're penned in, and it's very cramped and very crowded, and people can't move, and you get the illusion that it's out of control and needs to be controlled because it's so crowded. But when the crowd is organic, it moves very naturally. People come and go very naturally. And so the way the parade used to function is that you could literally get in the parade. So if you had a float go by and you were motivated by that music, you could dance behind the float and just move along with the parade. You could cross. And I mean, there was natural flow of traffic, stopped at red light, people mm-hmm. crossed. But then there became this new system, and it has impacted a great deal. But it didn't used to be that way.
Mm.
Not before Bloomberg.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that it was Bloomberg who shifted things.
I believe it was Bloomberg. I could be wrong. It might have been Giuliani. My timing is not always the best, but it certainly it wasn't like that. I mean, I grew up in New York City, and it wasn't like that.
Hmm.
I don't remember it happening until the time of the Million Man Marches. Anyway, long way from Christmas, I'm going to play another Christmas song, I think.
Okay.
This time, I'm going to appeal to a different audience. We heard Mariah Carey. Now let's see if Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Let's see.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
So that was Andy Williams. Lovely. Cool. It is a nice song. It's a jolly song.
Yeah.
What can you say? So, you know, Christmas music, I think, is, I've always enjoyed a lot of the Christmas music. I don't have a lot of it. I don't own a collection of it. I'm paying it off the internet. Do you have any suggestions? I could search for something. Do you have a favorite?
Wow.
It's hard to say, right?
No, I really don't. I don't have any favorite.
Okay.
Any favorite Christmas music? That's really unusual, but I don't.
It's not unusual, I don't think so. Let's see. Johnny Mathis might have something.
Okay.
Let's see. Johnny Mathis. He usually has good Christmas music. Let's see, Johnny Mathis. Well, maybe... some of our listeners have some music they would like for me to play. I could only search. I didn't bring in with me, but there's a lot of nice stuff out there. Yeah, so, you know, Christmas, whatever. It's a children's holiday, I guess, if you're young at heart.
Sure.
It's a good holiday. And if you're not, oh well. I guess I'm not. I'm a Grinch. I'm the Grinch. Which is okay, I guess. So yeah, there is some holiday music here from Johnny Mathis. Let's see. Okay. He has a personal music collection. Let's see if it will play. So what are your plans for, you said you're going to stay home for Christmas, you think?
Yes, indeed. I guess there are a few personal projects that I'm kind of working on and at the tail end of, and, I'll probably spend part of my day with some of my relatives.
Okay, cool. Hold on. Let's see. We have a caller.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air?
Oh, yes.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. I was, you were asking for songs.
Yeah.
I think a good one is Nat King Cole, Chestnut.
Oh, yeah, that's also good.
Christmas song of story. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's...
Yeah, anything by Nat King Cole, really. Yeah. That has it will be great. But let me see if I'll find something from Nat King Cole.
Yes, that's roasting on an open fire.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's the one, yeah.
Okay.
I kind of... but I thought it was interesting that that people, it's not just liking the Christmas songs, but they have to be sung by a particular person. Because I also like Eartha Kitt's Santa Baby.
Oh, that's another good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start writing this down.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, and that one about Andy Williams, my sister said, oh, yeah, I like that. That one that he sings, and I think that's an interesting, thought that it's not just the songs, but people want to be heard by a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, the other one is Mariah Carey with that. I don't know the one, but they play it forever. They've been playing it for the last couple of years, and it's real popular.
Right. I played one of hers.
Yes, you did.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's the one.
Yeah, I played that one.
And that's now seems real popular.
Okay. All right, so
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's see. I think we got another call here. Let me see. I'm not sure how to negotiate this, but we'll see. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is not a song suggestion so much, but there was a great program on BAI about 3 or 4 nights ago. It was on the Pacifica Archives program. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and Brian DeShazer introduced it. You know, it was a radio drama that was done at KPFA, I think, some years ago, and it was a dramatization about Charles Dickens and his writing of The Christmas Carol and how he happened to write it. And it just reminded me so much how much, for the longest time now, I've been thinking that what BAI really could use more of is radio drama. And I just love it. And he mentioned on that program that was actually specifically stated by Lou Hill in his purpose in establishing Pacifica. He said he wanted, a station that was run by artists and journalists, and that he wanted a lot of radio drama to be on there. And I wanted to say this with Paula. This is why I wanted to call in tonight, because one of the things that I remember, one of the outstanding radio dramas that was done by BAI and played, as far as I know, only once, was the dramatization of Pudd'nhead Wilson by Mark Twain, starring, of all people, Robert Knight. Among his other talents was an actor. Was he a professional actor? Had he acted before? Or was this just something he discovered one day? Hey, I can do this.
I think he did actually perform off Broadway. He told me several times that he performed the character of a South African gentleman. And
was that? That was before you knew him?
Yes, it was.
Which would have been when? When would that have been?
Most likely sometime in the 90s.
Right. Well, so were you there? Were you with him when Pudd'nhead Wilson was done? Because I'm trying to remember when that was done. I think it was the 90s also.
No, I was not. I was just simply a listener at that time.
Oh, so you heard it?
Yes.
You did hear it, yeah. Okay. It was great, wasn't it?
Yes, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful, and it seems to me such a waste of programming, of talent and time, not to play this. And I thought... And there was a production, Simon Locley did a production, I think in the 80s, of Julius Caesar, which was all in-house, and I think it was directed by Simon Locley. And I would love to see, like, an annual hearing, an annual playing of Pudd'nhead Wilson. And my thought was, I said, maybe they could make it an annual event on Mark Twain's birthday, which I looked up, is November 30th. And
it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, and it occurred to me that it would be a great tie-in with Thanksgiving Day, because I'm sure Thanksgiving is a hard day to program, right? Nobody wants to come in and do live shows. So it could be like November 30th is pretty close to Thanksgiving. It could be played annually on Thanksgiving Day, and everybody would know to listen for it and look forward to it. And I just would love to have BAI, put more attention on the radio drama, like maybe 2 hours a week of programming, you know, and you could get a bunch of stuff from Pacifica Archives. It's full of recorded drama.
Well, also, I'm sure there's a lot of archives from WBAI because in the past it was very big on WBAI. So maybe it would be useful for you to send a letter to our interim program director.
Who is whom?
Jeannie Hopper,
okay.
And it's, I guess it's pd@wbai.org.
Okay.
So send an email and suggest it. I'm sure she would be happy to do something like
good.
That.
Oh, good. I hope so. Could I send Surface Mail? Does she read Surface Mail?
I presume you can. The address is 388 Atlantic Avenue.
Right.
And the zip is 11217, I think.
11217. And her name is, how do you spell her last name?
Hopper, H-O-P-P-E-R.
P-P-E-R. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a nice Christmas.
Bye. Okay, that was sweet. Radio drama sounds like it would be a lot of fun, but BAI used to have all kinds of stuff. Like, they had a door that you could actually take into the studio and slam if you needed a door.
Wow.
And the old arts office had, back then, of course, this was before modern technology, but there were reels and reels of audio on all different kinds of sound effects that could be used in various radio productions and radio dramas. So it was very big at WBAI.
Wonderful.
So it could possibly happen. Do you have that recording?
I don't think so.
Oh, I would love to get a copy of that recording.
I'm sure someone out there has it.
Cool. Well, we'll put it out there on our Christmas wish list.
Yes.
That would make Christmas nice.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay, so I'm going to play another little song while I look for Nat King Cole and what else am I looking for? I'm looking for Eartha Kitt. So, but in the meantime, we're going to hear from, who we got? Well, we'll figure it out. I'm just going to play it. Let's see. Oh, I did find Johnny Mathis, but I don't have him in the machine. All right, let's play Johnny Mathis. Now, that doesn't sound like Johnny Mathis. Let's try this again.
The pitch was off on that one a bit.
Oh, I get it. I picked up the Christmas music of Johnny Mathis, not the actual. All right, so let's go with, let's see if we can get a Nat King Cole going in here. It's so funny. Live radio is very funny.
It's hilarious.
Chestnuts roasting. Okay, so now we have two songs.
Okay. Getting closer.
It's so funny. Okay, so I'm going to say sorry to Johnny Mathis, and let's see if we can get Nat King Cole.
And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
There we go.
Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering
this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
I almost feel like I have to play that again.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to do it right away, but I messed it up, so let's see if I can find Eartha Kitt. It's not the easiest thing to play, apparently, from the internet, because all kinds of things pop up, including ads.
Yes.
Which we don't want to play.
No, we don't.
Let's see.
Christmas.
Okay, we still got Bing Crosby in the background. Let's try this again. Oh no, he just won't go away.
Another tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. See if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
That sounds like a very young Eartha Kitt.
Very young.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. So what's coming up next? Maybe I should just leave it, let it go for a moment. The Jackson 5.
Yeah.
This is Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5 wishing a happy holiday to all Motown fans.
Kissing Santa Claus!
That song.
What a cute little voice.
Yeah.
Well, see, now that's nice. See, these Christmas songs are actually helping. I have to say they're helping. They usually do. How about the Temptations?
Sure.
Twas the night before Christmas. The creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind, I want you to be free. For all of my friends, would you listen to me? Hear what I say. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
joyous day. I sit around by the fireplace, watching the gleaming tree. If I had one wish in this world,
what a voice. I'm going to have to be careful. I keep playing these songs. I'm going to end up going shopping.
But you know what? We can maybe, I was thinking of one song, John Lennon, War is Over. And it, apparently it's one of the most, ranked amongst the top 100 Christmas songs. And the official title is Happy Xmas, War is Over. And he recorded that in 1971.
I'll look for it.
Okay.
Let's see what's coming up now. This looks like Donny Hathaway.
Okay.
Hang on, mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. Christmas, fireside's blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Come
Okay, so we're getting close to our transformation point. So let's see. Let's see.
And what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you had fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. And so this is Christmas for weak and for strong, the rich and the poor ones. The road is so long, and so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow.
It ends with the quote, "An eye for an eye will make us all blind," Mahatma Gandhi. Actually, it's a devastating video. For those who want to look it up and look at it, the official video is quite devastating.
Oh, my.
It's a beautiful song, and the video really brings to the fore all of the horrors of war. At least that's the one that I chose. Mm. And it shows a lot of small children and their parents and innocent civilians being devastated by war.
Mm.
Yeah. So
my.
It's an interesting, it's a beautiful song, but whoever made this video, and apparently the video was created after the death of John Lennon. I don't know who put it together. But it does bring out the spirit in a sense, because it shows you what's really important.
Yes.
And it's not about the superficial. If we really want to embody the spirit of generosity and caring, then we must find a way to end the suffering.
So, absolutely, and compassion.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting selection. Well, we are just about out of time. Want to make room for Jim Freund to come in for Hour of the Wolf. Any thoughts you'd like to share with people? Because next week, remember, would be right before New Year's, or might
That's
even
right.
be New Year's Eve, right?
That's right.
So we get a chance to harp on New Year's next time.
Yeah, I would just say that, it's been a eventful, will be a gross understatement. It's been a tumultuous year, I guess, in many ways, and I certainly hope that many people in the listening audience have had wonderful things happen in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only sincerely wish in those cases that more wonderful things continue to happen in the coming year. And if things were not so great this past year, that things actually turn around
mm-hmm.
and something beautiful happens in your life.
Well, that's a beautiful wish. I don't think I could possibly top that, but I also wish for people to have a joyous celebration and a joyous year, really. I think we've given over enough of our energy to suffering, and I think it's time to reach into that core of our being that can bring forth that joy, maybe by letting go of all these judgments we have of each other and of the holidays and all this. None of it really matters. What matters is that we have a shared humanity, and in many ways we are a unified being with Earth moving together through our collective evolutionary process. And I certainly trust that things will get better. They have gotten better and will continue to. So I want to say thank you, Paulette.
And thank you, Catherine.
I wish you also a happy, happy Xmas.
The very same to you.
Okay, bye-bye for now.
Bye.
And we'll try to find some music to close with. And all of you who are tuned in, I do thank you for being with us today. And I ask you to stay tuned, because WBAI never sleeps. And if you tune in to 99.5 FM or WBAI.org, for the most part, you will find something interesting going on. And you've been listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight with Catherine Davis and Paulette Spencer. And we're going to try to find a little something here to play ourselves out. And I like Sarah McLachlan, Dear God. Let's see how that goes.
You're making your image, see them starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat from God. Can't believe it. Dear God, sorry to disturb you, but I feel that I should be heard loud and clear. We all need a big opinions meet about love.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning with us will be by phone Dan Persons discovering some movie or other that opened recently. Can't imagine what it is. Stay tuned.
Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I'm going through a terminal case of the Christmas blues right now, and the last thing I really want to talk about is Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Not because it's a bad film, because it isn't. J.J. Abrams isn't God, but he is a good director, and so I was always confident that, at the very least, this was not going to be a torturous 2+ hours. And it is not. It is good, at times very good. But that's just it. It's a good film, and that's all. And now to have to give it the attention accorded to it by nearly a year's worth of hype and heightened expectations, even on my part I'll cop to that, calls for a level of energy I'm not sure I can invest right at the moment. I will say this, though, and this will sound a little weird. The most important moment for me came not with any of the big, effects-laden battle scenes, impressive as they are, or with the lightsaber duel between new bad guy Kylo Ren, played by Adam Driver, and former scavenger and soon-to-be Padawan Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, wonderfully choreographed though it may be, or when Rey finally stands face-to-face with Luke Skywalker, much as Mark Hamill really rocks that Obi-Wan look. And, by the way, if you're a Skywalker fan, don't get your new hopes up too much. He gets about 30 seconds in this installment. No, what caught my attention came in the first few minutes of the film as some stormtroopers raid a village, taking some casualties in the process, and one of the fallen reaches out to smear a blood-stained handprint across the helmet of another. And it's not that the one who receives that imprint reacts visibly with horror, even under the mask, setting the stage for the introduction of John Boyega's renegade stormtrooper Finn, but that, for the first time in my memory, a stormtrooper is represented as something more than a convenient target to be mowed down, that there was an actual cost to the loss of this particular life. Of course, after that, Abrams goes back to lining up the plastic-bedecked ones for easy laser blasting. But don't discount that small moment of grace. The Empire's, now called the First Order's, battle plan may be the same as ever, Galactic Conquest. But Abrams' plan is a little different from what the series was operating under when George Lucas was calling the literal shots. That is, when Abrams brings himself to implement the new strategy. The Force Awakens feels like a film pulled in two directions. Abrams' game plan in working with established franchises appears to be to take what's already been done and skew it at a new angle, sometimes dramatically. You get the feeling you've covered the terrain before, but now you're seeing it from a new perspective. Star Trek Into Darkness was The Wrath of Khan pulled inside out, and at base, The Force Awakens requotes A New Hope, but with a bit of gender bending to put a rootless female scavenger in the Luke Skywalker role and some deepening of the dark side to give this chapter's Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, an actual face and a different set of daddy issues. I could actually elaborate on that more since Abrams had the good sense to reveal that plot point in the film's first 45 minutes thereabouts, but I'm going to hold off just out of caution. Another day for that. There are times when Abrams leans too heavily on the in-jokes and those nostalgic inversions. The reintroductions of the original trilogy characters are especially awkward. But when the film focuses on its new characters, as it does more confidently in its latter half, and by the way, let's have more Lupita Nyong'o's benevolent barkeep Maz Kanata, please, the more it becomes its own thing and demonstrates that at least there's plenty of life left to be explored in this particular far, far away galaxy. Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens is not a great film. I frankly don't think any of the Star Wars episodes are great films, but that's me. But it is fun and immensely entertaining, and given how things were left the last time we visited this particular universe, that's a very good place to be. And that should be enough action and fun and special effects for one week. But if you want more, you nutty person, you, there's also the Hong Kong action epic Mojin, The Lost Legend, about a group of tomb raiders seeking a rare flower that can bridge the realms of life and death. That's kind of like Indiana Jones if George Lucas and Steven Spielberg both dropped acid and wrote the script while staring intently into a pinball machine. The director, Wershan, did similar eye-popping work a few years ago with Painted Skin, The Resurrection, and he's not letting up now. Lots of action sequences, fight scenes, the craziest booby-trapped subterranean tomb ever. Just lots of good stuff that doesn't let up for a second. This is essentially what popular filmmaking became once Star Wars rewrote the rules, and when it's done well, it's just cool. Mojin, The Lost Legend is done really well, and it's just really cool. I'm Dan Persons. In the next few days, if it hasn't been done already, we are going to be releasing a new episode of our Bad Movie Podcast, Temple of Bad, this time talking about Dino De Laurentiis' King Kong. Everybody loved Kong, nobody loved this film. You can check it out over at templeofbad.com or mightymoviepodcast.com.
Okay, well, there is Dan's recorded review. Pardon me while I try to set things up and see if, for a change, I can actually get myself on mic. And let me see now if we've got Dan online. Say hi, Dan.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
This is the sound of my voice.
Okay, excellent. Okay, very good. Except now it's the sound of your voice as a Philadelphian. So, okay. So
not quite yet. I still say water the way I used to.
Okay. So before we continue with the morning agenda, let me make a couple of announcements. Normally, regular listeners to Hour of the Wolf over the years would know that the Wednesday night closest to solstice or Christmas is usually our Tolkien program. But because of Star Wars, because of the Force, we have changed that this year, and the Council of Elrond will be broadcast next week. And I'll have to talk to Lister about that when he comes in, because Council of Elrond runs 90 minutes. This show, with theme, runs 90 minutes. So we're going to have to beg for about 4 or 5 minutes to run over. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is that the first New York Review of Science Fiction reading of the year will be happening on January 5th here at 388 Atlantic Avenue. Admission is free. Donations are cajoled. And our readers will be Terrence Taylor, who listeners should know because he's been on the show a whole lot. And people who attend the readings should be familiar with, because he basically does all of the video work that we get done there, and we're very appreciative of that, leaving me to run the video while he is doing his reading. The other reader will be Maria Davana Headley, and she is a